Well, good morning. We're glad to have you with us at Hilltop Church here in Griffith, Ontario, out along Highway 41 on this fourth weekend, this fourth Sunday of Advent. And this week, the theme is love. We've had hope, peace, joy, and today love. And I've got four different scriptures. Let me read them for you. First one comes very familiar to us. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The second passage comes out of Romans chapter 5, and it's verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our third passage comes out of 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And the last passage comes out of the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and it's verses 4 and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. The title of my message this morning is, How Deep Is Your Love? How deep is your love? Now, if you know me at all, you know there's always some music running in the back of my mind. At least one tune, and sometimes multiples. When I hear that phrase, how deep is your love, it takes me back to the 70s. Those were my teenage years. How Deep Is Your Love was a hit by the Bee Gees, the Gibb brothers, Andy, Maurice, Barry. And it was a pop ballad written and recorded by the Bee Gees in 1977, released in September of that year. And the song repeatedly asks this question through a recurring lyric, how deep is your love? Someone is asking someone else, do you really love me? How deep is your love? And they make comparisons. And they speak of things like the oceans and such. How deep is your love? This song, if you're not familiar with it, this may catch you. It ultimately was used as part of the soundtrack to the film Saturday Night Fever. Now, if you know that movie at all, then perhaps in your mind right away, there's a picture of John Travolta, one hand with his index finger pointing to the sky, the other one on the diagonal pointing back at the floor, and him in a white three-piece suit. Goes way back. You know, in the United States, this song topped the Billboard Hot 100 charts on December 25th, 1977. It stayed on that list and stayed in the top 10 week after week after week. On a British television show special in December of 2011, it was voted the nation's favorite Bee Gees song by the viewers there in Great Britain. Bee Gees, people wondered and discussed how they came up with that name. Where did it come from? Well, the leader of the group was Barry. The family name was Gibb. BG was his initials. And they decided that was simple and easy enough to go by. They became the Bee Gees. During the Bee Gees' 2001 Billboard magazine interview, Barry reportedly said that this song, How Deep Is Your Love, was his favorite Bee Gees song of their entire catalog of what songs they had sung over their career. We have a great affinity for love songs. Stop for a moment and think, how many songs can you think of with the word love in the title? You're going to go past counting on one hand. You'll move into the second hand, and after that, you're on your own. There are a lot of songs about love. Why? Why this great love for love songs? Could it be that love is the greatest gift we can give or receive? The gift of love, our love gifted to another. You know, in contemporary Christian and church music, there is a piece that's become a modern-day hymn. It's entitled, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. It's composed by Stuart Townsend, and the hymn's lyrics praise and admire the love of God the Father and the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ. Stuart Townsend was born in 1963 and raised in West Yorkshire, England. He was the youngest son of an Anglican priest, began learning piano at a very young age, and started writing music at the age of 22. He's produced albums for several Christian artists, but also has published 8 solo albums to date. And some of his better-known songs include How Deep the Father's Love, In Christ Alone, The King of Love, and The Power of the Cross. Townsend is currently a worship leader at Church of Christ the King in Brighton, England. In 2005, Cross Rhythms magazine described Townsend as one of the most significant songwriters in the whole international Christian music field. The Christian website, crosswalk.com, commented that the uniqueness of Townsend's writing lies partly in its lyrical content. There is both a theological depth and a poetic expression that some say is rare in today's worship writing. Deborah and I have a friend back in London, Ontario, Brian Usher. Brian's been a professional musician throughout his life. He's a solid Christian man, and we've known him for years. He's a music teacher. He owns and operates his own sound studio and has produced and recorded albums for other artists. He's a music composer and writer himself. And so, some time back, I asked him about all the contemporary gospel music that was out there and his opinion. He said, Steve, it's just so much Christian fluff. Well, that took me back, because when I think of fluff, I think of something with very little substance. It's just fluffy. He said, oh, Steve, listen to the songs. Listen to what's coming out. It's rare that they mention God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, his love for us. He said most of them would be easy crossover songs to a number of genres on the radio. Country, pop, whatever. He said, unless you are listening to that song in a distinctly Christian mindset, those songs could play on any radio anywhere. But listen to Townsend's modern-day hymn. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sins upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. So my question is, how deep is your love? How deep is your love? Because we're walking now into the final days. We're walking into that Christmas season, the final countdown coming up to Christmas Eve and then ultimately Christmas Day, the day that we celebrate the coming of the Christ child. But behind that is the Heavenly Father's great love for us, that he gave us the gift of his only Son. And that too is why we celebrate. It's a Father's love, and it's a gift beyond compare. John 3:16 reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life," or eternal life. The entire gospel comes into focus in this verse. God's love's not static, it's not self-centered, it reaches out and it draws others in. Here God sets the pattern of true love, the basis for all love relationships. When you love someone dearly, you are willing to give freely, even to the point of sacrifice. Let me share that once again for those that are keeping score at home. When you love someone dearly, you are willing to give freely, even to the point of sacrifice. God paid dearly with the life of his Son, the highest price he could pay. And Jesus accepted our punishment, paid the price for our sins, and then offered us the new life that he had bought for us. When we share the gospel, when we share it with others, the gospel being the good news that Christ has died for our sins, our love must be like that of Jesus, willing to give up our own comfort, our own security, so that others might join us in receiving God's love. Romans 5, verse 8 was, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners. Those are amazing words. God sent Jesus to die for us, not because we were good enough, but because he loved us. And whenever you feel uncertain about God's love for you, remember that he loved you before you even turned to him. If God loved you when you were a rebel, when you were living life by your own mind and your own directions, he can surely strengthen you now that you've loved him in return. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's a song we used to sing in church. The verses went, "There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus." Listen, because he first loved me. Verse 3 came out of 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Everybody believes love is important, but love is usually thought of as a feeling. In reality, love is a choice. Love is an action. God's the source of our love. He loved us enough to sacrifice his Son for us. Jesus is our example of what it means to love. Everything he did in life and death was supremely loving. Actually, love explains why God creates. Because he loves, he creates people to love. And then secondly, why God cares? Because he loves them. He loves and cares for those sinful people. Thirdly, love explains why we're free to choose. God wants a loving response from us. And then finally, love explains why Christ died. His love for us caused him to seek a solution to the problem of sin. And love explains why we receive eternal life. God's love expresses itself to us forever. So here's another question. How well do you display your love for God in the choices that you make and the actions that you take? There is that little line where it says, Preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. People ought to see the love of God in your life. They ought to see that expression of your relationship with Him. Notice I said relationship, not your religion. I get real tired of the whole religion thing and the religious folks. To me, religion is the rules and regulations. You have to do this, this, and this. You can't do that, that, and that. And you didn't. And it's man trying to enforce those rules. I don't see that. I really don't see it when I read the scriptures. What I find is God looking to have relationship with us. A relationship that was broken off and corrupted in the Garden of Eden with the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. And it carried on down through the generations and the peoples that have followed. The scriptures tells us because of the Garden of Eden and the sin that happened there, we are born with a sin nature. We're already separated from God because He will have nothing to do with sin. Here we are. We've got a choice to make in life, actions to take. Do people see the faith that we express? Do they see the good news of the gospel? Or do they see rules and regulations? Do they see do's and don'ts? For a lot of years, the church has preached what I've read and heard described as clothesline preaching. You've got to wear this type of clothing. You've got to dress this way. You've got to act this way. You can go to these places. You can't go to that place. You've got, and it goes on and on with the do's and don'ts. I'm sorry. Show me that in the Bible. Let me see what we're talking about. Let me back it up and prove it with God's own word. That's where I want my faith to be based. Based, grounded, secure in God's word and His love for me. Ephesians 4, actually, sorry, point 4 and Ephesians 2. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. In the previous verses in that passage, Paul wrote about our old sinful nature. Remember that nature that started back in the Garden of Eden. And here Paul emphasizes that we do not need to live any longer under sin's power. The penalty of sin and its power over us was miraculously destroyed by Christ on the cross. God loved us so much that He gave us His only Son. On this Advent Sunday, when our focus is on love, it's not that light and fluffy, warm feeling that you get. It's not the thing of the songs and all. We're talking about our Heavenly Father's love for us and our love for Him in response. It's the relationship that He makes available to us. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we stand acquitted. Do you know that term, acquitted? You'll read about a court case in the newspapers, hear about it on the evening news, that they came before a judge or they came before a jury and they were acquitted. That means found guiltless of all the charges. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we stand acquitted or not guilty before God. And God doesn't take us out of this world and make us robots. We're in this world, we're just not part of its system. And you and I, yes, we're still going to feel like sinning. And you know, sometimes we will sin. Will you do this for me? Please do not get upset with me just because I sin differently than you do. Oh, wait a minute. What do you mean? You sin? Are you inferring that I sin? Wait a minute, Pastor. What's going on there? I'm sorry. The scripture tells me there was none perfect save one, and that was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You and I are built with an earthly nature, and we are prone to sin. Remember the scripture, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When you read that passage and when you check and look into the study of each word and such, it speaks of coming short of the mark, missing the bullseye. God's plan for you and I is that we would hit the bullseye every day. You and I don't always make it there, do we? We fall short. But God didn't make us robots. He could have programmed us that way, that we had to do everything he said. No, he gave us free will and allows us to make that choice to follow after him. Now, the difference is that before we became Christian people, we were dead in our sin and we were slaves to our sinful nature. But now we're alive with Christ. Why? Because of his death on the cross, his victory over the grave, and because of his great love for you and I. This fourth Sunday in Advent, this day when we're talking about love, and particularly today, our Heavenly Father's love for us, I have to ask you a question. Do you know that love in your life? Have you experienced it? Do you have religion or do you have relationship? Do you walk in a place of fear, concern that you might step out of line? Or do you walk in a place of relationship, secure in your Heavenly Father's love for you? There's a difference. There's a difference. And you've heard me speak of that. Relationship versus religion. I get real tired of religion. But I love the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. And that's available to you. That's available to you. Well, Pastor, I'm not a part of your church. I'm not a card-carrying member. I'm not even a part of your denomination, your fellowship. I don't know your rules, your regulations. Whoa, 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 whoa. Are you a child of God? And as a child of God, are you in relationship with him? Or are you a long way from relationship? It's as simple as a prayer asking him to come into your life, asking him to forgive you of your sins, asking Jesus Christ to come into your life and help you to live in a way that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father. You could repeat the prayer after me. Let me lead you. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my life today and help me to live for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I truly believe if you prayed that prayer sincerely, that there's been a spiritual change take place in your body, in your spirit, your life, that you've walked back into relationship with your Heavenly Father. And that which was broken back in the Garden of Eden has been put back in proper place. You're in relationship with your Heavenly Father. Scripture tells us that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But no one makes it into heaven without that relationship with their Heavenly Father, without their sins being forgiven by his Son that he gave at what we call Christmas time, when he sent his Son to be born, not of royalty, not of religious leadership, but of an unwed teenage mother, betrothed, promised in marriage to Joseph, told by an angel that she would bear the Christ child. Joseph told, this marriage is okay. What's happening in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. And this child grew to be the Savior of the world. Fully God, fully man, at the same time, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. It means God with us. If you made a decision today and you prayed that prayer, fire me off a quick email, would you? It's just pastor@hilltopchurch.ca. Hilltop Church, all one word in there. pastor@hilltopchurch.ca. That's my private email here. I'd be happy to talk with you, answer some questions, supply you with a Bible if you don't have one, help you on these early steps in this walk of faith. If you are available Christmas Eve, we are having a drive-in Christmas Eve service. Oh, there'll be candle lights for people to wave in the air while they're singing the songs. You can sit in the comfort of your own car, keep it running and the heater going if you wish, and we'll put the sound out through the FM radio on your in your dash. We'll have speakers there too if you want to drop the windows and listen in. We've got some special music lined up, some guests that are going to share the Christmas story. I want to have a hot chocolate for everybody that comes. Everything we do at church seems to involve food and drink. I'm glad to have hot chocolate, and we'll take all the proper precautions for this time that we're in. But we'll have something there for you. And then I want to bring you a message from the manger. It's going to be a great time. Hilltop Church, 25197, Highway 41, Griffith, Ontario. I hope to see you there on Christmas Eve. If not, have a very merry, wonderful Christmas. And we'll look for you here again at Hilltop Online. God bless.